Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you, and we would like to welcome you and wish you all a very blessed and happy new year. I'm glad 2020 is in the rear view mirror, and it can stay there. And we trust that the Lord will bring us through this, and that 2021 will be an easier year on each and every one. But this morning, I just want to give our hearts a little bit of an encouragement, and I would like to read with you, please, from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, and if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, open it up, please, and let's read from chapter 1 and verse number 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand, or do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper or act wisely wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts this morning. As we look at this book, it's a new introduction, is it not? After 40 years of wandering in a wilderness. And really quite appropriate as we think of 2020 and the wandering we felt this past year. But it's exciting to learn about the great discoveries of man over the many centuries. We can look back at some of the amazing journeys around the globe, over sea and land, and wonder how in their primitive ships and with such limited navigational equipment, inadequate food and medicines, yet they seemingly made it. How did they do it? And when we look at this book, we understand how Joshua made it and the nation with him. You notice chapter 1 opens up with these words, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying in verse number 1. And so we begin to see this, that God was speaking to him, and that made all the difference in the world. And that's what we need today, is it not? Individually and collectively as an assembly, we need that the Lord would speak to you and to me. And that we might be like young Samuel, who could say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Now Joshua, as the introduction in my New King James Bible says, forges a link between the Pentateuch and the remainder of Israel's history. The first of the 12 historical books end with Esther. And this book is essentially a military book, for there are three major military campaigns involving more than 30 enemies. In all of this, the nation sees and learns of the capable leadership of this young man, well, not so young now, Joshua. Remember him, because he is one of the two who entered into the promised land, who lived in slavery in Egypt. The other was, of course, Caleb. So in his youth, he grew up in slavery and heard the crack of the whip by the slave drivers. And then in his mid-years, he was wandering through the wilderness, but at the same time, he was the understudy of Moses, that great leader. And during these years of 40, in that wilderness, he was learning many lessons about life and about the life of faith and the need of obeying the word of God. And when we, as men and women and young people, learn these lessons, there is nothing that God cannot do for you and for me and through you and through me. I believe it was William Carey of India who said, "Attempt great things for God. Expect great things for God." And I believe it was in the 1700s that he sailed from Britain to India. And you can only imagine how primitive a time it must have been compared to the age in which we are living. Joshua is obviously the central character of this book. And when we look at the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, it's comparative in many ways to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Both of these books speak of inheritance. Joshua is standing on the border of the land. The Lord is giving to him instructions. Three times over, he's told to be strong and to be courageous, and telling him that there's an inheritance, a land that is theirs for the taking. You remember Paul in Ephesians 1 and 3 could say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." And then down further, he says in verse 11, "In him," that is in Christ also, "we have obtained an inheritance." And he goes on to describe the inheritance that is already ours and the inheritance we're going to receive when we're at home in heaven with him. Now, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis to Deuteronomy, Israel is outside the land. When we are here in this book of Joshua, at this point, we're on the border of this new land. But from Joshua to the end of Esther, these 12 books, Israel is inside the land. As well, in Joshua, you see that the sword is unsheathed until all the enemies are subdued and destroyed. And not until you and I are at home with Christ will the sword of the Spirit be sheathed. And we are, as Paul could mention in Ephesians, that we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the sword is unsheathed today as far as believers are concerned. And if the sword of God's Word is to be unsheathed, then you and I need to get to know this book and get to know it better. But we're in a warfare, and we have the captain of our salvation, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12. And he is the author, the pioneer, the originator, and as well, he is the finisher of our faith. I want you to turn over, please, in your Bible to chapter 5 of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. And then look, please, at verse number 13. Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 13. And now here is Joshua. He's the commander of the army of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man. And you notice that in, at least in the New King James, man is capitalized, referring to an appearance of the Lord Jesus. He stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal from off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Do you remember another man who took off his sandals as well? It was the leader of this man, Joshua, Moses. As he stood at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, he took off his sandals, for he was standing on holy ground. And as Joshua here is in this place, going to take Jericho, the captain, the originator, the pioneer, the author, and the one who would be the finisher of his faith in the victory that would be given at Jericho, was none other than the one who is our captain, our leader, and our fighter on our behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice again that Moses, at least Joshua, was called of God. And each one of us, as individuals in Christ, the moment we put our faith and trust in him, we have been called by God as well. And as such, we can rest upon the divine promises that God gives to you and me. We often think that the call of God is special to those who are missionaries or preachers or Sunday school teachers or Awana leaders, but not to me. I've never been called by God to do anything. If you've been saved, you've been called. And each one of us are to be witnesses, and each one of us are to bear the name of Christ to the world in which we are living. But it's a wonderful thing to know that our captain knows all about you and understands all the hardships, the dangers, the difficulties, and the sufferings that you go through, that I go through, and that all of us have in some way or other experienced in this past year. In times of difficulties, where do we need to go? You notice what Joshua could say, or God could say to Joshua in verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so we look and we see that this book of the law was not to depart from his mouth. But he says, you're to meditate upon it. Read Psalm 1. The blessed man who meditates in the word of God, like the proverbial cow who is chewing his cud, regurgitating it again. And you know, it's not the matter of how many chapters, or to say, I read the Bible through in 1 year, I'm wonderful. No, it means to take the scripture and focus on it, and take a chapter and go by through it, and a book and go through it and finish it. But as you do, allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. I have so enjoyed, and this is volume 2, Shane Johnson's book, 31 Days with Bethlehem's Treasure. And boy, he certainly is a treasure, as he's revealed in this, the writings of Shane. But after Christmas Day, the theme begins to change, and he's looking forward to the new year. And so he said on December the 29th, And the verse was John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And he says, reading the Bible is not just an academic exercise. It is a life-giving experience. It's like sunlight to a flower. It causes you to develop, produce fruit, and grow. The Word of God is food, and reading it is like eating food. I don't think too many of us are lacking food, are we? And we're perhaps all eating, and particularly over this season, been eating far too much food. And it tells as we stand on a scale. But spiritual food also is important, and it sustains our spiritual lives, and it gives us strength to do the will of God day by day. Now, if we neglect it, as he says, to neglect the Word of God is to choose to wither, weaken, and wane. And there are three suggestions that he gives, and I'm just going to mention it to us. First, he says we need to have a plan. Plan the work, and work the plan is a good motto to live by. Determine to read a certain number of chapters of the Bible per day. And we, you know, we all have goals. Perhaps you have goals of maybe getting a new car, or maybe getting, or when this is all over, going on a cruise. And so what do? You plan for that, don't you? And you take the money you can possibly do and put it away. You save it until the time comes when you can use it to go on that cruise or to buy whatever. So we need to plan and take time to sit down and daily read the gospel. Set a goal. You know, we set goals perhaps for our children and encourage them to set goals and follow those goals. And then again, the second thing he says, the second thing necessary for reading God's word is setting aside a designated time and a place to read it. I have a designated time, usually about 6:30 in the morning. I have a designated place, a lovely lazy boy chair with a nice hot cup of coffee and a clementine, and I just enjoy that time with the Lord. And you know, I don't want anyone to take that from me. And it's in the quietness of the morning in my home, when all is still, that I'm there in the presence of the Lord. The last thing he mentions is we need a purpose. Why are we reading the Word of God? Are we reading it because we are supposed to? Are we reading it so we can brag to others? And then he goes on to say, read to get to know him. And I love this little quote. Enjoy sitting on your heavenly Father's lap while he speaks to you. I can remember my children when they were young, they would come and just sit on my lap, not for any particular reason. And I would hug them, kiss them on the top of the head, and they may just sit there and we would snuggle. Sometimes we would talk. But it was a special time when we were bonding and we were close to one another. When you take time with God, get up on his lap and snuggle with your heavenly Father. He goes on to write, lay your head on his bosom and hear his voice. Determine to imitate whatever it is he whispers in your ear. And after reading his word, after getting down from his lap, so to speak, live out the day like children who play while their parents watch over them from nearby. And so just live your life. And he's watching over, and he's caring, and he's guiding. I have a friend who sends me something every morning as he spends time in the Word. And you know, I get this, and I notice when he writes this page and the time he sends it to me, I mean, I can hardly believe it, but it's 4:18 in the morning. I'm under the covers, sound asleep. But this brother is up and in the Word. And as he's writing, I am growing because I'm learning from him. And we're sharpening each other. I want to encourage you, young people, this is the time to discipline yourself in the Word of God. Study to show yourself a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know where that's found, 2 Timothy 2:15. And you notice that the Lord gives to Joshua in verse number 2 a command. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. And notice this delightful promise. This is the principle of promise. The principle is renewed. Arise, go over this Jordan. That was given to Abraham way back in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. And as Abraham heard the voice of God, he was to go in too and take the land. And the Lord said, look, whatever direction, it's all yours, Abraham. Possess it and enjoy it. And you know, we have the promises of this book, and we can enjoy them. And every promise in the book is mine, the old chorus used to say. And may we rest on the promises of God's word and the truth of it. Notice what he says in verse 3. Here is the promise. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Go out, take the land, it's yours. You remember that was what they were to do when they came to the border of the land way back in Numbers 13 at Kadesh Barnea. And God had said, just go in and take it. And they said, no, Moses, we better do something. We need to know what the land looks like. So I think we should take some spies. And you remember they took 12 spies, one from each of the tribes. Joshua and Caleb were two of those. And we all know the story. 10 came back with an evil report. And these two, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. Let's go in and take the land. God's given it to us. They brought back those grapes, and they were so heavy that the branch on which they were carrying it was bending under the weight. A land of promise. A land given by God. And don't be in despair. And so often, even with COVID, we all have a cloud over our head. I know that. I have felt that. But you know what? I don't live in fear. We rest on him and enjoy him and trust him and go on for him. This is a life principle, the life of faith. I like what J. Sidlow Baxter has said, and I enjoyed this in his devotional, Awake My Heart. I read that many, many years ago, and I decided I was going to look at it, and my heart has been refreshed both mornings. And he says, there is an opportunity in every difficulty, and a difficulty in every opportunity. And isn't that true? If there's an opportunity, invariably there's going to be some sort of a difficulty. And in every difficulty, obviously, it is an opportunity. And then he writes at the closing of this devotional, he says, it has been said that the pessimist is one who sees a difficulty in every opportunity, whereas an optimist sees an opportunity in every difficulty. And although we've had difficulties this year, there have been opportunities. And perhaps opportunities as we've never had before to share the gospel, or we should have and have neglected, and I have. But every opportunity, the optimist sees it as an opportunity to do something positive, even though there is in that opportunity a difficulty. And in all of our lives, there are difficulties, there are challenges, but let's not be pessimistic. Joshua was learning from God not to be a pessimist, but to be a man who trusted in God. Notice what he says in verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." And it's a threefold assurance. And then he goes on to say, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And then he goes on to say, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." A threefold assurance, a threefold cord, as Ecclesiastes tells us, is not easily broken. As I was, so I will be. Believe it, live it, trust it. And notice he says, "I will be with you." That's the divine title. That's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. And what was the last thing he said before he ascended to glory? In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end, the consummation of the age." He hasn't forsaken us. He will never forsake us. The problem is, we have become cold in heart. We have lost the joy of our salvation. We have looked at the experiences around us instead of the God who has permitted this. We haven't enjoyed COVID. It's not fun. I am standing in the chapel and I look at the chair space and I say, you know, this is so sad. But this is what we're determined to do? Yeah, okay, we've done it. But you know what? It's not the norm. And it's not what we should be enjoying. But he says the Lord is present. And that's the important truth, isn't it? And then the last thing he says, "I will not fail nor forsake you." And we look at Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Turn over there for a moment quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And you know, you can say that backwards and forwards, and it means the same thing. It says backwards, "You forsake, nor you leave, never will I." And I'm sure we've all heard that before. "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" So in all that is ahead of us, Moses was given the principle of courage. Be strong, be courageous. God will provide. I swear it's my word. And we rest upon it. And verse number 7 says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law." And here is the principle of obedience to the word of God. Are you being obedient to the word of God? Buy the truth, Proverbs tells us, and sell it not. Are we selling it? Compromising in our Christian experience? You can't obey the word of God unless you know the word of God. And the only way you're going to know the word of God is taking time in the word of God. The psalmist could say, Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that what? That I might not sin against you." Obedience is going to bring prosperity. That doesn't mean a bigger bank account, but it's going to bring a soul prosperity, and it's going to bring the joy of the Lord. Many of us are struggling with defeated Christian lives during this time when we should be rejoicing in God. Prosperity, if God's word is honored, revered, and enjoyed, will be a portion for you and for me. Harry Ironside, and I close with this, said the Bible is to be the man of our counsel, the food of our soul, and the sword with which we face our enemies. Some of us will know Uncle Dave Stifler, who's now with the Lord from Buffalo. And I wrote this down. He spoke, I think, at one of the workers and elders conferences. And he said, "Speak of the book, study the book, Submit to the book. Good advice, isn't it? Speak of the book. Study the book. Submit to the book. May this be true of me. Because there was a promise for Joshua of a new land, there's a promise for you and me. We're not here forever. This world is not our home. We're going home. There's a new land ahead of us, the land of fadeless day. And let's look forward to heaven and the joys and the blessings of it. Let's live the truth of God's word uncompromisingly. Let us live the truth unashamedly. Let us live it with a heart for the Lord Jesus. I trust that as we have spoken this morning, that it will lift our souls as we look forward to this year and what God has in store for you and for me. Let's just pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity of sharing a few things this morning. And we pray that the Word of God will have its effect upon each one who has tuned in. And that, Lord, it will be the man of our counsel. And that we might be those who are not looking at circumstances and situations, but the God who has permitted these circumstances and situations. And although we don't like them, and although we have our feelings about them, we need, Lord, just to be looking to you, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. May we look on to Jesus as we go into this week and into this month and into this year as we pray in that hallowed name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.